Hear these words by Reverend Dr. David Breeden. We gather into this circle. We gather into this circle of care to dream, to envision, to embody and achieve the compassion we dream, the justice we envision, the dignity of each in an ever-growing circle of justice and love. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected, and especially if you're in the nursery this morning, good morning upstairs. If this is your first time visiting with us, we invite you to go to the website where you can sign up for the link. Our email newsletter that gives you information not only about the congregation, but also about lots of things happening in the community. And if you are with us for the first time today, we are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are also welcome in this community in whatever way is meaning for you. We have the playground down front. We've got lovingly staffed nursery care. And this is intergenerational worship, so we expect joyful noise. Just a few announcements today. First, our land acknowledgement. We gather this morning acknowledging the land we are on, the rocks and waters of this land, the plants and animals of this land, the air we share. We also acknowledge the original people of this land, including the Nipmuc, Pawtucket, and Massachusetts people, as well as the legacy of the Natick Praying Indians, and all those who walked on this land before us, as well as our own ancestors. We remember ourselves as part of a web extending back in time, forward in time, and in every direction in time. Speaking of the land on which we are, next Saturday, we will welcome purple flags to the lawn of FCC Natick. These purple flags mark the loss of people to the opioid epidemic in Massachusetts just over the last year. The flags will be with us through September 8th before going on to Newton Wellesley Hospital and then finally the Brigham. All are welcome to help with the installation if you'd like next Saturday at 9 a.m. This is one way we care for those impacted by addiction. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was. So they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Lorraine. Please join me in the call to worship. Your responses, come as you are. Come, brothers and sisters and siblings.
Come as you are.
Bring your blessings and your burdens.
Come as you are.
God is here all around us.
Come as you are.
Come. Let's worship together. Come as you are.
Amen.
Our opening hymn is God of the Sparrow. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Oh,
Good morning, beloved church. Hi, Jeanette. I recognize almost. Say again.
Your brother's here from Husband's Heritage.
My brother? Good, he's behind a pole. So my husband Bob and I were here for, gosh, 20 years or so before we left to move to Northern California in 2016. And it's wonderful to see so many faces I know and a few that I don't. But Cindy had this idea that I could help with being a lay leader, and I thought, that sounds like a great idea. So here I am. I have to make sure I can see it. Our centering prayer this morning includes words by Lynn Cox. We begin with a little bit of silence. I'm going to invite you to get your feet flat on the floor. I mean you, Gail. Sit up straight, open your chest so you can breathe deeply, and take one deep cleansing breath. Then we'll begin with a little bit of silence, and in the relative quiet, with each breath, know how connected we are to one another, even across time and space, held together by God's love. Let us pray. Spirit of life, who draws us together in a web of holy relationships, make your presence known with us and in us and among us. Remind us that we are not alone in history. Ignite us with the courage of all the saints. Remind us that we are not alone in entering the future. Anchor us with patience and perseverance. Remind us that we are not alone in our times of grief and pain. Comfort us with your spirit as it shows up in human hands and voices. Remind us that we are not alone in joy and wonder. Inspire us to honor and amplify the beauty we find in this world. Source of stars and planets and water and land, open our hearts to all of our neighbors. Open our souls to a renewal of faith. Open our hands to join us together in the work ahead. As we seek to follow the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, for somebody today, you will be the face of God, the hands of God, the voice of God, the compassion of God, the peace of God. God is working through you in the world. What a responsibility and what a joy. So let's turn to each other on site and online and let that God light shine. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you.
Thank you.
this summer, our godly play gatherings are focusing on some of Jesus' parables, old, important, and mysterious stories. And so Reverend Cindy is focusing on parables too. This week, it's the parable of the Good Shepherd. Versions of that parable can be found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. We'll hear the one from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and religious leaders were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." These are the sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. So, school is starting soon. So I was gonna say that can bring a lot of feelings. Sarah Lynn, do you have feelings that brings? What feeling does that bring, Sarah Lynn? That brings Sarah Lynn happiness. Are there other feelings that come to mind when we think about school starting?
Traffic.
That's great. I hadn't thought of that. Gail, were you going to say one? Sorry, I did not mean to put you on the spot. Does that make you think about being in school? Gail, do you know the answer to the question?
No, I'm trying to think of what feeling brings to my grandchildren.
So could be some joy, maybe could be some disappointment. You could ask them and then report back. In fact, anybody at home who is thinking about feelings you have now when you think about school starting up or remember from the past, send me an email, drop me a line, let me know. Other feelings that come up when we think about going back to school? Excitement.
New sneakers.
New sneakers.
Peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet. Okay. That is the person who stays home and the other ones go to school. But do you remember when you went to school how you felt? Was anybody else anxious?
Yeah.
Was it just, okay, thank, I'm like, why? And just me, huh? So anxiety is definitely, also nobody talked about new notebooks. New notebooks made me happier than anything in the world. But the other thing, what for me was just anxiety and nervousness. It just was stressful to think about all the new things that were going to happen. And one of the things that often made me nervous was the school cafeteria. That made me nervous. It didn't even have to be the beginning of school. That made me nervous all the time. Always walking into this big room. The room just felt huge, where all these different groups were kind of flocking together. It seemed like they were safe and secure as I walked in. And I was just, would I have someone to sit with? Or would I be alone? And that's why I like this parable a lot right before school starts. Jesus says that the shepherd will go find the sheep who are feeling lost, lonely, and scared. Jesus wants us to know that God will do the same thing. Which means if I'm feeling like a lost sheep, alone, afraid, sad, God is right with me. Now, maybe I don't see God sitting in the chair beside me in the cafeteria, But I can remember that God has promised to be with us, that God has said we are beautiful and valuable just as we are, that God loves us and will never leave us out. That helps me feel a little less like a lost sheep and more like somebody who belongs. As we get ready for the school year to start, no matter what happens Monday through Friday, I want you to know that this is a place where everyone belongs, where there will always be room for you, and we will make sure nobody is lost. Amen. Our second reading this morning is called Belonging by Rosemary Watola Tromer. She writes, "And if it's true we are alone together, the way blades of grass are alone, but exist as a field. Sometimes I feel it, the green fuse that ignites us, the wild thrum that unites us, the inner hum that reminds us of our shared humanity. Just as 35 trillion red blood cells join in one body to become one blood. Just as 160,000 notes make up one symphony. Alone as we are, our small voices weave into one big conversation. Our actions are essential to the one infinite story of what it is to be alive. When we feel alone, we belong to the grand communion of those who sometimes feel alone. We are the dust that hopes, a rising of dust, a thrill of dust, the dust that dances in the light with all the other dust, the dust that makes the world. Amen." The flock was upset again. And you couldn't say their agitation was unjustified. The shepherd has one job: protect the sheep. And where was the shepherd? Gone. Again. You can't protect the flock of sheep when you abandon the flock of sheep. The sheep's distress wasn't really focused on the shepherd, though. What choice did the shepherd have? No, their real aggravation was directed at Barry. Again. Barry had done what Barry does best. He'd wandered off. And what choice did the shepherd have but go look for him? What did that mean for the rest of the flock? They were sheep without a shepherd, alone, vulnerable, and anxious. Who knew what was out here in the wilderness? What thieves hid, waiting for the chance to steal an unsuspecting sheep? What wolves lurked, planning out their dinner menu? Without the shepherd, the sheep were sitting ducks. And remember, this wasn't the first time the shepherd had to go off in search of Barry. There was the time Barry spotted a particularly tender patch of grass and wandered off the path to have a delicious snack, not noticing as the rest of the flock continued. Another time Barry wasn't watching where he put his hooves and tumbled right off a ledge down a steep hill. One time Barry actually got confused about who his shepherd was and wandered off with another flock. All the other sheep managed to stay on the path, eat what they were supposed to, stick together, and follow the shepherd. Why couldn't Barry? At any rate, it had happened again. The shepherd noticed Barry was missing and went off in search, leaving the rest of the flock, all 99 of them, alone in the wilderness. Ruth was the first to complain. She was usually the first to complain. What is wrong with Barry? Why can't he be like the rest of us? Daniel chimed in. Yeah, and if he can't, why do the rest of us have to suffer? Most likely all that anger was just fear in disguise, but Sandy couldn't disguise her fear at all. What's going to happen to us? She cried. When will the shepherd come back? George scoffed. Maybe we should find ourselves a new shepherd, one that won't wander off after every lost sheep. That made Patty worry. But what if it was one of us that was lost? What if it was me? I'd want the shepherd to come find me. That was hard to argue with, so the sheep were all quiet for a minute. Emily spoke up. I know we're all fed up with Barry, but I wonder if we could help him get lost a little less. The other sheep looked at her confused. Martin chimed in, oh, like we could keep an eye on him and call him back if he starts to wander off. Leah grumbled, why do I have to waste time worrying about Barry? Joel said, well, it's better than wasting time in the wilderness without a shepherd. Gloria had an idea. Maybe it's not just Barry. Maybe we could all keep an eye on each other, make sure everyone is part of the flock. Shane piped up. Yeah, Barry isn't the only one who tripped on some rocks. Remember, Judy, when you were limping for 2 weeks? If we'd been helping each other, that might not have happened. Judy added her own thoughts. And you have to admit, Barry is a pro at finding the sweetest bits of grass. If we stuck with him, we could have some too. Harold wasn't yet convinced. But it isn't fair. Why do 99 of us have to focus on one? Andrew offered. It might not be fair, exactly, but it is life in a flock. Tim added, we've all been lost, the lost one at some point. Yes, Barry gets lost more than most, but the shepherd seems to care about each and every one of us, so maybe we should do the same. Nancy spoke up, I'm on board with all of this, but it doesn't do us much good right now. Barry's lost, the shepherd's gone, and we're all alone out here in the wilderness. Olivia started to cry. I'm scared, she said. I don't like being alone. But we're not alone, Justine said. We're here together. And, Adam added, we could work together to help the shepherd find Barry. That's true, Barbara agreed. We might even have a better chance at finding him than the shepherd, being sheep ourselves. Let's do it, Ellen cheered. Let's all get together and find Barry so the flock can all be together again. Ruth had been the first to complain, but she no longer felt angry or even afraid. As the flock started off in search of Barry, she wondered if this was what the shepherd had in mind all along. Amen. As a community of faith, we know that when we join our hearts in God's presence, our prayers are amplified and our concerns are shared. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list that was sent out in the link. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Pam.
Two. Orica's brother, Peter, continues to recover nicely from his surgery. The biopsy result was
What did you say after?
The biopsy result was benign.
Benign, great.
Yes.
So before you do the second one. So we've been praying for a while for Pam's brother-in-law, Peter, as he's been dealing with a lot of medical issues and then surgery that was going to be a complicated surgery. We are so glad that his recovery continues in a good way and that the biopsy results were benign. We're grateful, and we continue to hold him in prayers.
Yes. And the second joy is the crocheted prayer shawl. Heather crocheted it, arrived, and Angelica, my friend's mother, I just received a picture of the two of them this morning with the shawl around her mother's neck. And I translated the message into German so that Angelica could read it to her, and she feels very supported and thanks the church.
So Heather is in the nursery, so I trust she is hearing this. So we sent a prayer, or Pam sent a prayer shawl to the mom of one of her good friends who was in a sudden decline. And so the prayer shawl has arrived in Germany, one that Heather made. And Pam just this morning received a photo of, I'm going to screw it up, Angelica. That's, yeah.
Angelica.
Yeah. The, God knows, the mom with the prayer shawl over her shoulders. And so, again, our beings and our prayers are not geographically bound. We send them to her. We're glad she's wearing them. Rick, did I see your hand up?
Yeah, happy to see Bob and Georgianne here.
It's such a joy to have Bob and Georgianne here. And just so you know, they are going to, for those of you on site, we have coffee and conversation after worship today, and Georgianne and Bob will be able to hang out for a little bit so you can have a few minutes to chat with them. And Bob echoes it, being glad to be here. Thanks, Bob. Yeah,
Jeanette. It's a way to see the intergenerational theory of this weekend at work with Uncle Brother's Lorraine welcoming us to worship.
Jeanette is lifting up the joy of having Lorraine as a lay reader this morning, which is fabulous. Thank you, Lorraine, for doing that.
Fantastic.
Lane says fantastic. And Lane never says fantastic to me. So, Kirsten. So two Haitian families who are currently living on the streets are able to have respite this weekend. A resident of Natick made their home available because they would be away, and many members of the village came forward to make this possible. Kirsten's one of them. She was present so they could be in the space and feel welcomed. People provided meals and gift cards for meals, and the family has been able to cook and sleep in beds and simply get a few minutes where they're not in constant terror of what comes next. I'm so grateful for the many hands it took just to give these two families a weekend of respite. It might feel like a drop in the ocean, but we're gonna take care of the ocean one drop at a time. Thank you, Kirsten, for doing that. Lorraine.
I got a good report from my cardiologist this week. An excellent report, actually. And I don't have to go back to him until February. And I'm so grateful for my good health.
We are too. Lorraine's cardiologist is in awe of how fabulous her heart is, but we already knew that. The good thing is he feels sustained in having seen it now, that he doesn't need to see it again till February, but if he starts to get sad, you might have to go see him again. We celebrate your good health, Lorraine. Lane, do you have joys over there? Did I miss any joys? What concerns do you bring to this place today? Pam.
Wednesday evenings, Friday mornings. And going to the temporary shelters for 6 months simply means people go out on the street.
That's right.
And so I don't want to mix any politics with anything here in church, but this needs attention and
yeah.
care.
We are in crisis in this state and in this country. As people remember, no one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. We have people who are fleeing the mouth of a shark, and they are seeking a place that is safe. And right now, there just aren't good answers, but we are part of that answer. I'm so grateful that one of the things Pam does is she does language volunteering on Wednesdays and Fridays, because we know the folks who are arriving here desperately want to work, and we desperately need them to be working, and they're improving their English is a big part of that. So again, one drop at a time is part of how we will do this. And there's a, are you going to the GBIO meeting?
Yeah.
Kirsten's going to the GBIO meeting. So one of the things we're looking at is the ways in which we can collaborate with other organizations to deepen and shift some of the conversations. So Kirsten's gonna go to a conversation this afternoon that will help give us some more info about that. So stay tuned. Thanks, Pam. I have one more concern, but did I miss? So some of you may have seen that this past week, Dave Levesque's mom died. Susan died unexpectedly on Thursday. And so we are holding the whole family in our prayers. The funeral is on Tuesday in New Hampshire, and we celebrate Susan's life and her presence in her family. Did I miss anything? Our prayer includes words by Elizabeth Tarbox. Let's be together in prayer. Living God, we are surrounded by opportunities to love that present themselves in the midst of life's turmoil, where the light catches the tears in another's eyes, where hands are held and there are moments without words. Let us be present then and alive to the possibility of change in ourselves and in the world. Help us seek to make another's well-being the object of our heartfelt concern. May we find ways to be present to another's pain, to bathe another's wounds, to hear another's sadness, to celebrate another's success, and allow the other's story to change our own. Let us stand in the morning on damp grass, hear the syllables of birdsong, and fill up on sweet air that rolls over oceans and continents. Let us look up at the stars and the planets that fill the night sky with majesty. And for all this, let us be grateful. Let us not defend ourselves against the discomfort of unruly emotion, nor seek to close down our hearts for fear a new love will come to shake our foundations. Let us instead be open to discovering a new way of seeing an old problem, or appreciating the perfection of a seashell, or the possibility of friendship. For in giving ourselves to what we do not completely understand, we receive life's blessings. And in taking care of one another, we are cared for as well. Amen. New school year barrels toward us. At FCC Natick, we're getting ready to welcome two school programs into our space. Achieve is a post-secondary program starting at, I think it's fourth year at the church during the day. And we'll also be welcoming the WISE After School program just for the next year. Now, both of these programs cover the basic cost of using the space, but welcoming these programs still isn't easy. Staff and volunteers work to make sure the space is suitable and coordinate between the two groups and troubleshoot all the random items that come up. Plus, there will be things we can't do or we'll have to do differently because the schools are sharing our spaces. But lay leaders at FCC Natick decided that making space for these children and young adults is core to our mission. None of this would be possible without your generosity. You might not ever be in the building while the programs are happening and things in here are hopping. You might never see any of the families that are served by this effort. But your financial commitment to the ministries of this church make it possible for us to provide a safe and welcoming space. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, I invite you to picture the kids who, in just a few weeks, will be using this very space to learn and play and grow. Thank you. God of abundance, bless these gifts, but especially the lives they will touch and the world they will change. Amen. Our closing hymn is Creating God, Your Fingers Trace.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. That is not at all the tune I know for that hymn. I'm just going to keep saying I'm new. Beloved, hear these words by Wayne Arneson. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. Amen.